Now, Uriah, Jeremiah 26, verse 20. Jeremiah 26, 20. Now Uriah, son of Shemaiah from Kiriath-Jearim, was another man who prophesied in the name of the Lord. He prophesied the same things against the city and against this land as Jeremiah did. When King Jehoiakim and all his officers and officials heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But Uriah heard of it and fled in fear to Egypt. King Jehoiakim, however, sent Elnathan, son of Achor, to Egypt, along with some other men. They brought Uriah out of Egypt, took him to the king Jehoiakim, who had him struck down with a sword, and his body was thrown into the burial place of the common people. Furthermore, Hakim, son of Shaphan, supported Jeremiah, and so he was not handed over to the people to be put to death. These are the only five verses in the Word of God about this man named Uriah. You probably never even heard of him before this morning. In a time when Jeremiah was well known and everyone knew his name and he is remembered to this day, Uriah was forgotten. But the Bible has wonderful things to say about him. First of all, it said that there was another man who prophesied in the name of the Lord. He was an also, a second stringer. He was not the guy that runs onto the field and everyone cheers. He was the guy in the pack at the back. But he was a man who lived for God Almighty. Let me ask you today, because we live in a day in dark days. And remember, there are four characteristics of these lesser lights. They lived in dark places. They were up against great odds. They weren't people we'd have picked, but they made a difference. Let me ask you, as we live in dark days, are you willing to be an also? You know, it's amazing how when we're the one who's going to be getting the credit, how quick we are to show up to something. I remember when I was down in Bridgeton, there were a number of Baptist churches in Bridgeton. And they recruited this one large church to join the Baptist. The man never came to a single meeting, never did a single thing to help the organization. But if he was going to be honored, and they always tried to honor him because he had a big church, he would show up. And you know, there's people that when everybody's going to know your name, they'll show up. But God needs alsos. Luke chapter 16, verse 12. Luke chapter 16, verse 12 says, "He who will not be faithful in that which is another man's, who will give him that which is his own?" Are you willing to be faithful even when you're not the one? Notice his description, he's described as he prophesied the same things against this city and this land as Jeremiah did. And I'm sure that That satanic spirit speaking to Uriah. How come every time you open up, they always mention Jeremiah? I remember when I was first saved, and I was out witnessing to people and talking to them about Christ and preaching to the people in the church. Somebody came up to me and said, "When you open your mouth, it sounds just like Charles Stewart speaking." And I took that as a compliment. Are you ready to be an also? The second thing we know about him is that he was a man of integrity in a day of liars. It says that not only did he prophesy in the name of the Lord, but he told the truth. He talked about judgment in a day when God was judging. I was listening to someone on the television this morning, and they actually had the courage to talk about how we are leaving so much out of the gospel today. Things like hell, and that things like repentance, things like the transformed life, and things like God's judgment. And he said, when you go to the average church in America today, you'd think you were going to a therapy session. You leave feeling good about yourself. Jeremiah and Uriah lived in days like this. Notice the description of the majority of the preachers in his day. Look with me at Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. Jeremiah 6, 13. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Do you know, I'm in my 30th year of full-time ministry. 30 years ago, this coming June, I graduated from seminary. 30 years ago, even. If you had in the seminary where people are supposed to be learning to be men of God, if you had a seminar on prayer, if three people showed up, you were really doing good. But when they had a seminar on how to negotiate with churches and get the best benefit package, you couldn't drag another chair into the room. And it's done nothing but get worse since those days. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophets and priests alike all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Is that not a description not only of Jeremiah's day, but today? Everything's fine. We're doing good. The church is great in America. Just listen to these guys. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No. They have no shame at all. They don't even know how to blush. So they will fall among the fallen. They will be brought down when I punish them, says the Lord. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. I appointed watchmen over you and said, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But you said, we will not listen. Look with me at Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8. Verses 7 and 8. Even the stork in the sky knows her appointed seasons. You ever seen the birds fly north for the winter? They know where they're going, don't they? It was amazing when we lived when I lived at home with my parents. We had this little pond, a big pond or little lake, whatever you want to call it there, that my dad had built. Every year the ducks would come back, but every year they'd take off and leave. He says, even the stork in the sky knows her appointed season. The dove, the swift, and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. Now notice what it was the responsibility of the men of God to preach. Not just the love of God, the requirements. What is it that God requires? What does He ask of us? How can you say, we are wise, we have the law of God, when actually the lying pen of the scribes has handled it falsely? And that was the day in which Uriah lived. And it would have been so easy to go along because, you know, the false prophets were accorded so much respect by the people. You know, you go in to witness at work and you try to talk to someone at work and somebody butts in and goes, oh, I believe everybody's just going to heaven. You go to a funeral like we heard today and somebody gets up and says, oh, isn't it wonderful that God loves us all and we'll all be in heaven? And you're sitting at the dinner table at the dinner after the funeral and somebody says, isn't it wonderful how great that message was? And Uriah lived in those days. It would have been so easy for him to be one of them. He could have even comforted himself, I'm not the worst of them. I'm not saying what these, you know, I know I'm bending it a little, but at least I'm preaching some truth. But Uriah was a man of truth. He told the truth when others lied, even though the truth was not popular. Because of that, and I wonder if you've ever thought of that, he was a, let me give you a phrase, a confirming voice. I want you to write that phrase down. If it didn't jump out at you, write that down in your notes. A confirming voice. There are a number of you here that were it not for confirming voices would have never been saved. Because most of us, when we hear the gospel, we go, nah, that can't be true. And until we hear it from one voice, from two voices, from three voices, from four voices, and unless we hear it from other places. I remember in the days when it used to be that we used to go on a lot of trips and we'd go down to Ocean City to the Tabernacle, or we'd go down to other places. We'd go out to places like Creation. And people would preach the truth. And people that had been hearing the truth for months or years in church, they'd get out there and they'd go, wow, you know, this really hit me. They're saying the same thing you're saying. And I've had people say to me, you know, when you talk to me, I just couldn't believe it. But when I went here and heard the same thing, and when I went there and heard the same thing, and when I went someplace else and heard the same thing, it started to click. Maybe there's something to this. Uriah was a confirming voice. Let me ask you, who are you a confirming voice for? Who is it that you are standing up? And you know, it's hard today. I remember the last time we went to creation over a dozen years ago now. And this false teacher, there's no way else to say what he was. This false teacher got up there and preached a false gospel. And the kids that we had taken there to hear the gospel, to have their lives impacted by Christ, turned and said, why shouldn't we believe him? He's got 100,000 people listening to him. We've just got our little church. How do you know he's not right? And we live in a day when there are very few confirming voices. Just like Jeremiah's day. When you take people to hear somebody and you go, well, you know, it was all right, but... Notice what it says about him. Look at what it says. Jeremiah 26. He prophesied the same things. Jeremiah 26, 20. The same thing. Not just, well, he preached out of the Bible. He said the same things that Jeremiah said. God has one message for a time. And I hear all the time people saying, well, you know, they've just got a different take on things. No. God has one message to a nation, to a people, to a time. And he expects men of God to stand up and preach the same thing. And it says not only did he preach the same things, he says he preached them as Jeremiah did. He had the same emphasis. He had the same forcefulness. God's looking for confirming voices today. They may not be the people that get all the credit. They may be the people that get laughed at and said, yeah, that's just what so-and-so said. What are you, copycat? Yes. Because I'm following the same master. And I'm not ashamed to say the same thing. Notice that he was hated for his message. Look at verse 21. When King Jehoiakim and all his officers and officials heard his words, they sought to put him to death. It is hard to be hated. It is hard to be marginalized. For the last 30 years, the church in America has sought to escape that thing. I remember back in the early 70s when I first got saved, the mid-70s, people were unashamed to be marginalized for Christ. They knew that if you preached the truth, people would get saved, but most people would think you were a wacko. But then people came along, and I heard it in seminary, I believe the Bible, it's just I'm not angry at anybody. And the accusation was that if you preach the judgment of God, you are angry at people. And that was a false judgment. And a wicked judgment about great men of God who courageously told the truth. And they said, we can preach the gospel and not get anyone upset. Really? Let's see. Isaiah didn't do it. Jeremiah didn't do it. Daniel didn't do it. His three friends didn't do it. John the Baptist didn't do it. Jesus didn't do it. Peter didn't do it. Paul didn't do it. But those stupid folks didn't know what we know today. Look with me at Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Verse 14. Isaiah 59, 14. So justice is driven back. I was listening to an interview a little over a week ago with one of these parents whose child was one, whose adult child, was one of the four people killed in Benghazi. And this father was sharing about when a government official talked to him about the death of his son. They said, but we'll get the perpetrator. We're going to lock up the man that made that horrible film. Do you know that the man that made that film is still in jail to this day? Because he made a film that they didn't like what it said? They found a way to put him in jail. They don't care that the government officials lied for weeks. But boy, we've got this guy. And I'm not justifying his film. I haven't seen his film. I don't care about the film. But the fact is, when they start locking people up for what they say, how long is it going to be before you and I are in jail? Justice is driven back. Righteousness stands at a distance. Think about that today. Think about how righteousness is mocked today. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found. And whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. Because you know, evil people can't stand to have anyone do something good. Because they know that the only way they can possibly believe that they'll get away with what they're doing is to say everybody's doing it. Uriah lived in those days and he told the truth and they hated him for it. Jesus said, John 15:18. John 15:18, if the world hates you, keep in mind, it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. Do you know what really upsets me? Is when people who call themselves Christians bash on people for preaching the truth and saying, oh, you're just turning people off. The only way you can do that is to bash on Jesus and say, Jesus, you idiot, don't you know you were just turning people off? Because long before you or I was born, Jesus said the world hated him. It's not just that they didn't like him or they hated him. And the world hasn't changed. And Uriah told the truth in a day when he was hated. First of all, he was willing to be an also. Second of all, he told the truth when others lied. Third of all, he was human. Notice what it says in verse 21, Jeremiah 26:21. It says, King Jehoiakim and all his officials, when they heard his words, the king sought to put him to death, but Uriah heard of it and fled in fear. He was afraid. And you know what? When you're afraid, you're in good company. You're in good company. Peter was afraid. Remember Peter in that courtyard? I don't even know him! Elijah was afraid. He faced the king and then ran from his wife. But here's Uriah's fatal mistake. He allowed his fear to dominate him rather than empowering him. And you know, we allow our fear. I'm afraid of what people will say. I'm afraid of what people will think. I'm afraid of how people will treat me. I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid, I'm afraid. And because we're afraid, we don't speak. And because he was afraid, he tried to get out of the situation he was in. He tried to run away. And you know, we live in a day when God's people are running away in droves. They're running away from marriages. They're running away from parenting. They're running away from churches. They're running away from they're just running away. Oh, if I could just find the wife or the husband that understands me, this one doesn't, I'll get a new one. And guess what? It doesn't get any better. Oh, this church, you know, they're just always harping on, I'm going to go someplace where I feel good. Do you know how many people have told me that? And the Bible says that we are planted for a reason. This whole idea of I'm going to shop for a new marriage, I'm going to shop for a new church, I'm going to shop for a new family. Well, look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul gives us there a principle. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 20 and 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 20, 21. 1 Corinthians 7, 21. Each one should remain in the situation which he was called in when God called him. Do you know how many pastors I talk to? Oh, I'm getting out of the Northeast. I want to go someplace where I can have a big church. I want to go to places, someplace where people appreciate me. I want to go to someplace where it's easier. Boy, Uriah had that temptation. I just want out of here. Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. Were you a slave when you were called? Don't let it trouble you. Although, if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who is a slave when he is called by the Lord is the Lord's free man. God knows your situation. For he who is a slave when he is called is the Lord's free man. Similarly, he was a free man when he was called, is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brothers, each man, as responsible to God, should remain in the situation God called him to. Pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, Jim Cimbala, often gives this teaching. He says, you need to stay where you're at until God moves you. And you know, sometimes that's hard to do. Uriah, because he was afraid, fled. And you know, it's easy to become afraid today. And a lot of people, they talk about having a golden parachute. A lot of people go into situations with their escape plans already laid. Number four, last of all, Uriah was willing to be an also. He told the truth when others lied. He was a confirming voice for Jeremiah. He was human. He had fear. just like you and I. And number four, God didn't protect him like he did Jeremiah. Look with me at Jeremiah chapter 26. Jeremiah 26. Look at verse 22. King Jehoiakim, however, sent Elnathan, son of Akbar, to Egypt, along with some other men. They brought Uriah out of Egypt, took him to King Jehoiakim, who had him struck down with a sword, and his body was thrown into the burial place of the common people. God didn't protect his life. Now, someone will say, well, maybe that's because he ran away. I don't believe that. I believe that God has some people that he allows to glorify himself through failure, as the world counts it, and other people that God gives triumph and success to. Some people God protects, some people in this world face the world, the worst this world can give, and go to heaven. And you know, from our perspective here on earth, that sounds terrible. I'm not so sure that's the case. I'm not so sure that Uriah didn't get the better side of it than Jeremiah did. You know, I'm sure Jeremiah was going, "Woo! I am glad I've got somebody protecting me. Or I'd be dead just like Uriah. Wow, I made out." And I don't question that maybe Uriah in that moment before the sword fell said, "How come me and not Jeremiah? He's the one they ought to be killing." But the moment after the sword fell, I'm not so sure that Uriah wasn't going, "Oh, poor Jeremiah." And even in glory today, I'm not so sure that Jeremiah's not going, "Oh, I wish I'd have gotten martyred like Uriah." Look with me at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. I'm sorry, Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2:10. Here's what Jesus says to the church of Smyrna, one of the two churches that are fully commended and not at all condemned in the book of Revelation. And that puts you in a rare company when you look at a message to them. Notice what it says, Revelation 2:10. He says, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer." Now, here's the church that Jesus is commending. You would think he would say, "And here's the blessing I'm going to pour out on you." He doesn't say that, does he? He says, "Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you. And you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." The Bible describes five crowns that are given to believers. Five crowns that have whatever significance they have in heaven. And I've heard all kinds of people talk about what those crowns, what their significance. And I don't believe that we have a clue about how blessed it is to receive a crown in heaven. But let me tell you something. He says that there is a crown called the crown of life that is only given to those who are faithful to death. Uriah got the crown of life. 10 seconds before the sword fell in this life, Uriah may have been saying, "What an idiot. Oh." 10 seconds on the other side, Uriah was going, "Woohoo! Got the crown of life. Got the crown of life. Yes, I did." You know, we often compare ourselves, well, if God was blessing us, then he'd. Well, so-and-so, they've got a big church. Or so-and-so, they just sold their property to Walmart and got $1 million. How come God doesn't bless us that way? I don't know. Why didn't God save Uriah's life? He saved Jeremiah's. God never said he'll treat us all the same way. Remember John 21:21? Jesus is saying to Peter, when you're old, people will dress you. Right now, you're a young man. You'll get dressed. You dress yourself. You go where you want. When you're an old man, people will dress you in clothes you don't want to wear. And they will take you. They will carry you to places you don't want to go. And what was Peter's first question? What about him? Man, isn't that our action? Well, God, you did that for him. What about me? God didn't save Uriah. The sword fell. His head rolled into the bucket. And he went home to glory. Meanwhile, five rooms down the hall, Jeremiah was protected. I don't know why. You don't know why. But God knows why. And we need to stop looking at other people and saying, God, if you did this for them, you've got to do this for us. No, you don't. My kids do that all the time. But you did this for that one, and you did that. Oh, drove me crazy when they were young. And every parent in the room that had more than one child's going, yeah. I try to be a fair parent, but that doesn't mean I do the same thing for every child. Sometimes one of them will come to me, well, you never let me do. You never gave me, Phil. And I feel like saying, yeah, but I gave you these 10 things that I never gave the other one too. Weigh it out. God needs some Uriahs today. Some people who are willing to be faithful, even to the point of death. And somebody could say, well, you know, Uriah tried to run away. The only reason he died is they captured him. No, it isn't. All Uriah would have had to do to save his own life was recant his prophecies and join in with the voices of all the false prophets. That's all he'd have had to do. All he'd have had to say is, April Fools. God's given me a new message, peace and blessing, blessing and peace. No. He was faithful to the point of death. And even though no one knew his name, his name's known in heaven. And that's where it matters. So what if God doesn't call you to be a Jeremiah? So what if you're not the focus of attention? So what if you're not the one that everybody knows your name? Are you willing to be that confirming voice when all that's said of you is, yeah, he told the truth too. He preached the word straight. He said what God needed to have said. Is that enough? I guarantee you if you ask Uriah today, because he's still alive, he'd say, oh yeah, more than enough. Way to go. Let's bow together. Lord, I pray that you would raise up Uriahs today. For we desperately need men who will give a confirming voice in a day when the prophets are singing a very sad song. Not sad from this world's ears, but sad for your ears. For you have said, I have listened, and no one says what is right. Oh God, may you raise up Urias, who even if they're not the focus of attention, continue to preach the truth. Not just any old truth, but the truth that makes men stumble and the rock that makes men fall. For that is our only hope. In Jesus' name, amen.